We're in the middle of Torah Beis and Likutei Moran. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 3, the left-hand column, right about the middle of the column. V'chol ha-Torah she'odom lo yimed lishma v'lasos. Let's just give about a 3-minute review of what we had in this Torah so far to serve as an introduction to tonight's shiur. Rabbi Nizal started off by saying that the main klei milchoma of Moshiach and of a Yid, Bichlal, is Tefillah. And Rabbi Nizal said that Tefillah is represented by the nose, the Pasuk Utehilosi Echtam Loch, an association between the nose and Tefillah. And Rabbi Nizal said, just as the nose is the place of the main chias of a person, because we know the Pasuk says, Vayipach bi'apov nishmas chayim, that when Hashem placed the spirit of life into Adam, He gave it to him via the nose. So too, tefillah, which is represented by the nose, is also the ikar chiyas of the person. And that's the main klei milchoma. And Rabbi Nizal said, this klei milchoma, a person needs tikkun abris in order to be able to use it. Because just as a sword is worn around the thighs, chagor charbucho al yorech, so too there's an association between the yerech, the union of tikkun abris, and the cherev, which is tefillah. And Rabbi Nizal made an association with Bechira and Tefillah. That Tefillah is also represented by the Bechira. Just as the Bechira is the one who gets a double portion, so too Tefillah is a concept of a double portion. Shvochei shel mokoim, praise to Hashem, acknowledgement of everything Hashem has done for you, and Shilas Tzrochov, making requests of Hashem. And Rabbi Nizal compared Tefillah to a double-edged sword, these two edges being the two items we just mentioned. Then Rabbi Nizal said, once a person has this sword, they have to be able to know how to wield it properly, not to go too much to the right, too much to the left, but dead center, that expression that we have. And we explain what that refers to in terms of tefillah, for a person not to misjudge Hashem either way, not to chas v'shalom think that our tefillahs don't help at all, which means it's as if you're judging Hashem too much to the left, that there's so much din, there's so much harshness from Hashem that our tefillah can't help at all. Or not to judge Hashem too much to the right, which means to judge Hashem as being too kind in that Hashem is willing to share His kindness with us without any effort on our part, without us taking the initiative in terms of tefillah. Rabbi Nizal said, in order to center this sword, you need mishpat, because mishpat is the center. Mishpat is called Amud HaDamtzis in the Zohar HaKadosh. And Rabbi Nizal said, mishpat a yid is zeichet to through tzedakah. Because when a person gives tzedakah, mishpat means judgment, which means the concept of pshara. The ikar success in a mishpat, the foundation of Choshen Mishpat is that the best choice we would possibly want that there should come out between any two people that are coming to a bezin is that there should be a compromise. That both would be willing to come to some midpoint, to some center. That's this whole concept of mishpat, which is also the concept of tzedakah. Rabbi Nizal said, mishpat u tzedakah biyakov. Because tzedakah is also a concept of bringing two things together to a center. Taking a richer person and lowering him, subtracting from his wealth, taking a poor person and increasing his wealth, giving him some money, thereby making a pshara between the two, bringing them both closer together to some midpoint. Excuse me? Then you weren't able to do the pshara. In other words, it's understood that whenever there are two litigants, there are one or two options. Either one of them is totally wrong, in which case that's shown through the halacha, and you can't help that. Otherwise, if there's any shady area, if there's any room for the dayon to be able to show how neither one is completely rasha, neither one is completely wrong, and neither one is 100% right, but to be able to show that both of them have some degree of justice with them, both of them are right to a degree, and to be able to influence them to come to some agreement, to come to some pshara, that's the greatest success in terms of a dayan. With the exception of the case that you mentioned, which is where one is definitely completely wrong. Let's say the rich man lent money to the poor man, clearly, and the poor man is denying it for some reason or something like that. then it's Besdin's duty to find out who's right and wrong and to prove it, you know, to fill out the din. Then Rabbein Azal said that there's also a concept of something that's mevalvel tefillah. That this is tefillah, when it's successful, it has tikkun abris, it has mishpat, it has tztaka. Rabbein Azal said that there are machshavos zorois. If tefillah is dependent on mishpat, what clouds, what makes a problem for this mishpat? Machshavos zorois. If a person allows their attention to be diverted, to start thinking about other things, that weakens the person's tefillah very much. Just as there's a pasuk in Eicha discussing the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we know that the Beis HaMikdash was a center for tefillah. The pasuk says, Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah Yikore L'Chol Amim. The Churban Beis HaMikdash, the pasuk says, Sakoiso Be'onon Loch Me'avor Tefillah. That Hashem has placed a barrier not allowing our tefillahs to get through. The barrier is the onon, the cloud, which represents a cloudiness in a person's brain, where a person finds their concentration is clouded by machshavei zoros, outside thoughts. And Rabbein Azal said, when a person is zoicha to be misaking the mishpat, how? Through tztaka. Tzion b'mishpat tipode v'shoveho b'tztaka. Tztaka is what brings about a tikkun for the mishpat. Then he removes these clouds, this ki hashechad ya'aver enei chachomim v'yisalif divrei tzadikim. He removes the clouds, and he's able to concentrate well on the tefillah, and then his tefillah is really effective. Then Rabbein Azal added another important yesod in tefillah, which is that Rabbein Azal said that part of the concept of our davening tashem, every tefillah that we say represents an aver of the shechinah. Which means it represents like a brick of the Mishkan, a brick or a board or a piece of copper or some other ingredients that were being used to build up the Shekhinah or to build up the Mishkan. Both of those things are synonymous in a sense because the Mishkan represented the presence of the Shekhinah among Klal Yisrael. So Rabbein Azal said, each and every single tefillah that a Yid is mispalel represents the binyan hashchinah, the binyan of the Mishkan. And there is a very important analogy between the two. Just as when it came to building the Mishkan, the Zohar HaKadosh says beferish that nobody with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu was blessed with the knowledge of how to put the pieces together and how to put the ingredients together to form a Mishkan, to create a keli which could contain the presence of Hashem, where Hashem would be willing to rest his presence there. So too, in terms of the concept of tefillah, a yid must acknowledge the fact that my throwing my tefillah into the bundle or into this whole big location where all tefillahs are being gathered together, that alone is not enough. I must acknowledge the need for a tzaddik, the tzaddik emes, the Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the one who's authorized and has the knowledge to be able to take my tefillah together with all the tefillahs of the rest of Bnei Israel and put it together, formulate a package, build a mishkan out of it. And Rabbein Azal says that it's according to how well a person is attached to the tzaddik emes, to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what determines how much Moshe Rabbeinu is able to do this on his behalf. Therefore, Rabbein Azal said, even for those people that are attached to the tzaddik, it's important for them to verbalize this in conjunction with their tefillah. It's important for them to say, right before you begin a tefillah, before you begin shachris, before you begin mincha, ma'ariv, musaf, ne'ilah, hispiridus, it's important for you to say, hareini mekasher atzmi, l'chol ha-tzadikim amitim shebedayreinu, u'l'chol ha-tzadikim amitim sheikh ni'ofer kidosh ma'ashe boretzema. That I'm declaring, before I daven, I don't want to just throw my tefillah, I want to place my tefillah into the hands of and into the responsibility of the tzaddik, and I want to authorize him to act as a shliach on my behalf. He's the super shliach tzibur whose mission it is to gather together my tefillah together with all the tefillahs of the rest of Bnei Israel and to put it together in a format that gives nachas Hashem, in a form that builds up the Shekhinah, that builds this Mishkan into which the Hashruas HaShekhinah can be placed. This is where we got up to last week. Now we continue from there.
I'm not sure exactly how that is said very well. In other words, he says here to everybody has to makasher himself to the tzaddik while he's davening, in his tefillah.
Right.
And then you're also saying that a person has to connect his tefillah to the tzaddik.
Right.
Is there a difference or the same?
I believe it's the same. In other words, I wasn't being that technical. The exact wording that Rabbi Nezal uses is what you said. A person has to have kavono while he's davening. A person says, Hareini mekasher atzmi bitfilosi lechol tzadik mamitim. I'm attaching myself to the tzadik with my tefillah. Thereby, once I am one with the tzadik, now that tzaddik has the right to take my tefillah and to do with it what needs to be done. La'ayla shayfa b'shayfa, as the Zohar HaKadosh says. To put one board together with another board and make it fit properly to build this Mishkan for Hashem.
Because if you say that you have the kavona, that your tefillah should be attached to tzaddik, that's not the center there.
100%. There's a slight chance for misinterpretation here. We certainly are not saying to daven to the tzaddik. That we're not saying. You daven to Hashem. You're mechaven in your tefillah to Hashem that you want to attach yourself, which naturally includes your tefillah also, to the tzaddik, so that the tzaddik is going to serve as a shliach to help your tefillah get to where it's supposed to get to, and that it should be done with it what needs to be done with it. Zehu. Now Rabbi Nezal brings in a whole separate item, Torah. Now Torah comes into the picture. Rabbi Nezal says, a person who is going to daven to Hashem, v'chol ha-Torah shodom loymed, lishmar v'lasois, all of the Torah that a person learns, and while he's learning it, he has in mind that he's not just learning it for the sake of learning, but he's learning it to fulfill whatever he learns, to translate his learning into ma'aseh. Kol ha'osiyos hem nitzutzei neshamos. The letters of the words of the Torah that he's studying, those letters represent sparks of neshamos. We know that the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Yisrael is the Rosh Tevos Yesh Shishim Ribui Osiyos LaTorah, that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah corresponding to the 600,000 neshamos of Bnei Yisrael. So that each letter of the Torah has a kesher, has a connection with a neshama, or with part of a neshama. And therefore, Rabbi Nezal says here, that the letters that a person learns, lishmar v'lasois, they represent sparks of neshamos, v'heim nislapshim b'toich ha'tfilah, those letters clothe themselves in the tefillah, v'nischachim shom, and they receive, these neshamos receive a hischachus through the tefillah. B'bechinas ibur, in the concept of Ibur, there is a concept in Kabbalah where a neshama of a person enters into something else, enters into a different person, in order to share a mitzvah with that person. For example, Reuven is a person who left this world. He passed away. His neshama is in Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, he doesn't have the opportunity to do mitzvahs. The pasuk says, "Bameisim chofshi." A dead person is free from doing mitzvahs. However, the Arizal explains, there is a way that such a neshama can participate in doing a mitzvah. How? If it forms a partnership. If this neshama enters be'ibur, in passing, like, not in a permanent stage, but in passing through in a sense, it enters into the body of another person that's alive and joins that person's neshama and gives that person who's lacking a little bit in desire or impetus or strength to do a mitzvah, by this other neshama entering inside of him, it gives him that extra boost that he needs, that extra burst of energy to go ahead and do the mitzvah. In doing so, both neshamas share in the mitzvah. And when this neshama that entered into him temporarily leaves now, it leaves with part of the credit for that mitzvah. This process is referred to as ibur. That's part of the explanation of this term, Ibur. So Rabbi Nezal says now that when the Torah that this person learns, the letters represent Nitzutzei Neshamos, and these enter into a person's tefillah also, and they receive a charge there. It's as if their batteries are recharged of these Neshamos within the tefillah of a person who's davening the way he's supposed to be davening. Rabbi Nizal says that this is all merumas in a pasuk. Vezehu, this is what the pasuk means when it says, Hashomayim misaprim kivoid keil. Rabbi Nizal is going to show us now what each one of these words represents. Shomayim represents Torah, because Shomayim hainu ha-Torah shehi eshumayim, the Torah, which is compared to both fire and water. There's a pasuk that says, Haloi koi dvorai ko esh ne'um Hashem. On one hand, we find the Torah being compared to fire. And on the other hand, the Gemara says, Ein mayim ela Torah. The Torah is compared to water. So the Torah is actually a combination of fire and water, esh and mayim, which is called shamayim. So the word shamayim represents Torah. Hainu bechinas haneshamois, referring to the letters of the Torah, which correspond to the neshamos. Uboim betoich ha-tfilah, shehi bechinas kvoid keil. These neshamos, this shamayim, misaprim kvoid keil. It enters into what's called kvoid keil, which is tfilah. How do we know that tfilah is a concept of kvoid? K'moy shekosov, as the pasuk says, simu kvoid tehilosoi. Give honor to his praise. So we see that tehilah, which means tfilah, is associated with kavod. Bechinas tehilosi echtamloch. Again, we quoted the pasuk earlier, referring to tefillah coming through the nose. The word tehilah was the word that we were using for tefillah. So we see that tehilah is also associated with kavod. Simu kavod tehilosoi. So the shamayim, which is Torah, combines with kavod keil, which is the tefillah. V'haneshamos im ha'tfilah hanikras kavod, the neshama together with the tefillah, which is called kavod. There are two girsas here: either that the tefillah itself is called kavod, or the combination of the neshama and the tefillah is called kavod. Al shem shehim elabeshes oisonu, because the tefillah clothes us, it envelops us. Ki Rabbi Yochanan kori lemane mechabdusa. The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan referred to his clothing as his kavod. So if tefillah is called kavod, tefillah is also clothing. Vaydeze nikras kavod keil, and through that the tefillah is called kavod keil. Vehein meirin zeloze, and these two both give to each other. The Torah gives to the tefillah, and the tefillah gives to the Torah. The neshamos receive from the tefillah, they receive his chachus, and they also give to the tefillah. Rabbi Nizal says, Haneshamois meirin lahatfilah bebechinas ha'olas mayin nukvin. There is a term in Kabbalah that's called ha'olas mayin nukvin, that part of the preparation for the Shekhinah to be elevated is that there is a need for certain waters to be prepared. This isn't in a physical term, this is in a spiritual term, this term mayin nukvin. Therefore, Rabbi Nizal says that when these neshamos join the tefillah, they provide it, they inject into the tefillah the mayin nukvin, part of the ingredient that the tefillah needs to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. V'hatefillah me'ira l'haneshamos bebechinas chidushin shimechadeshes oisam bebechinas ibur. And we know that the tefillah gives something to the neshamos, in that the tefillah gives these neshamos a hischachus. We know that the pasuk says, Chadoshim labekorim, rabo emunasecho. We make a bracha every single day, Hamachzer neshamois levgorim esim. That the neshamois go through a hischachus every day. In which part of the avodas Hashem of a Jew does a Jew's own neshama experience this hischachus? Or any other neshamois that are associated with him, where do they draw their hischachus? In the rabo emunasecho, in the tefillah. Tefillah is the sinyan of ribui emuna. That's where the neshamos draw their ischachus. V'haneshamos hamalubashim betefillah hamuvois letzadik shebedoyer. And this total package, which consists of the neshamos, which are associated with the letters of the Torah that the person studied, lishmor v'lasos, that plus the tefillah, when it's brought, when this package is brought to the tzadik hadoyer, there's a pasuk that says that there are two things that are brought to the tzaddik. Besulois. Besulois is a concept of the Bas Melech, which is the union of Tefillah. Achrei Reuseho, together with her friends. The friends refer to these other neshamos that are represented by the oisios of Torah that a person is learning. These muvois loch. These are brought to the tzaddik. Vayoviu hamishkon el Moshe, we learned before. They brought something to Moshe Rabbeinu. What did they bring? They brought this total package, the besulois and the reuseho. The tefillah with the Torah representing these neshamos. So that Rabbeinu Zal here is stressing very much a yisoid in Breslov, that there's no such thing ever as a yid looking at any either one of these two items independently. Tefillah is not a standalone item, and Torah is not a standalone item. One without the other is incomplete. Tefillah needs Torah. It must come on to Torah. The Gemara in Shabbos quotes a pasuk, Meisir oznoi mishmoya Torah, gam tefilosoi toyeva, that a Jew who shows a disrespect for Torah, his tefillah is rejected by Hashem. So we see that tefillah needs Torah. And on the other hand, we know that Torah needs tefillah. Because the oisiyos ha-Torah, which represent these neshamos, they need his chachos. The letters of the Torah represent the neshamos of Bnei Yisrael. We said the word Yisrael is yesh shishim ribui oisiyos la-Torah. When a yid learns Torah, the same chelkenu b'sayra secho, we say. Each and every person has a chelik in the Torah. He has letters in the Torah. So that when I'm learning Torah, I'm being mekasher myself with the neshamos of Bnei Yisrael that are represented by these oisiyos ha-Torah. You understand? So therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, when this combination of a yid who is zeicha to be oisik in Torah and in tefillah, and he's mekasher in his tefillah, during the time of tefillah, he's mekasher himself to the tzaddik ador, that person is a total success in Yiddishkeit. That person is really being successful where his tefillah can accomplish the maximum of what it's supposed to accomplish. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to give us a summary of this whole Torah in a fantastic story that Rabbi Bar Bachona told. And this is really beautiful. It's easy. The story is easy, and the way Rabbeinu Zal explains it is easy. So pay attention. Let's see if we can complete this in tonight's shir. Rabbeinu Zal says, Omar Rabbi Bar Bachona. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, Rabbi Bar Bachona once related, Zimna chodo havo kazlinon besvinto. I was once riding in a ship, v'chazinon hahu kavro, and we saw a huge fish, a very large fish, the Yasvale Cholso Agabe, which had a large amount of sand on its back. The Kodach Agmo Iluye, and there was grass and vegetation growing within this sand. Now, as you picture a huge whale that's tremendously large, and the whale happens to have a large pile of dirt on its back, and on the dirt is growing grass and trees or whatever it is. Savrinon yabeshtahi. Rabbi Bar Bachona said, we only saw the top of this, so to us this looked like an island. This looked like dry land. This salkinon, therefore we went up on this, we got off the ship, and we mounted this island, what appeared to be an island to us, va'afinon, and we started baking there, uvashlinon, we started cooking there, agabe, on the back of this fish, v'kadcham, and when it started getting hot, when the fires started catching, and this fish started feeling the heat, he decided to cool off. How does a fish cool off its back? It simply flips over. Gabe ishapich, it turned its back over, it reversed itself. And if not for the fact that our boat, our ship, was very close by, we would have drowned. Interesting story. Look in the Rashbam. Again, the Gemara Baba Basra, in this section, does not have Rashi on it. In place of Rashi, we have the Rashbam. The Yasva Cholso Agabe, Shehoya Choyl Nikbats Algaboy. There was a pile of sand or dirt gathered on the back of this huge fish. V'kodach asavim al achoil, and there was grass growing within this sand. V'savrinon yabeshtahi, we thought this was dry land. Iye hayamhi, we thought this was one of the small islands in the ocean. This is the story as Rabba Bar Bachana presented it. Now Rabbeinu Zal gives his explanation, his interpretation of this story, based on what we learned so far in this Torah. I say, Shomer Rabba Bar Bachana, this is what Rabba Bar Bachana said, Chazinon lahay kavro, we saw this huge fish. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, he gives a short intro. Ki begoluseinu kaviyochol HaKadosh Baruch Hu bahastoras ponim. Now that we, the Yidden, find ourselves in Golos, Hashem is hidden from us. It's as if Hashem is hiding His face from us. He has turned His face away from us. Kama Yishekosu, as the Pasuk says, Histarto Ponecho. You, Hashem, have chosen to hide Your face from us. Shehu Bechinas Rachmin. The Ponim of Hashem represents the kindness of Hashem. Upono Oiref, and Hashem has turned His back to us, the back of His neck. Shehu Bechinas Din, that's the concept of Din. The Sifrei Kabbalah say that when Paroi was chasing after the Yidden, he said, Erdoif, I will chase after them. Asig, I will reach them. Achalek Sholol, and I'll beat the Yidden, I'll defeat the Yidden, and I'll divide up the booty. The Arizal says, what is Achalek Sholol? Sholol, Shin Lamed Lamed, is Bigimatria 360, which is twice Ponim. The word Ponim is Bigimatria 180, Pei Nun Yud Mem. Twice Ponim is Bigimatria 360, which is Sholol. When Hashem is in love with the Yidden, when Hashem is happy with the Yidden, and He's showing the Yidden a kind face, Kaviyochel, Hashem's relationship with us is face to face. We have our eyes turned towards Hashem, and Kaviyochel, Hashem is facing us. Then there's this ponim ponim. The two ponims are facing each other. Paroi said, Achalek Sholol. I will separate, I will create a pirud between the Sholol, between this ponim ponim. Through my arousing din, through my causing the Yidden to be judged harshly, negatively, I will separate, I will destroy this ponim beponim. Paroi represents ho'oiref. The Arizal says the word paroi is the oisius ho'oiref, because he represents this symbol of din that's reflected in the back of the neck. When we say somebody doesn't like somebody, when he sees that person, he looks the other way. He turns his back to him. That's a sign of din, that I certainly don't want to show any warmth, any kindness to that person. V'chol tfiloseinu, Rabbeinu Zal says, now that we're in Golos, our whole tfilo, u'bakoshaseinu, our whole tfilo and bakosha from Hashem is, al ze shepono oiref eleinu, regarding the fact that we feel sorry and terrible about the fact that Hashem has turned His back on us, sheyach soeres ponov. And in our tefillos, we beg Hashem that He should turn His face to us once again. Kamoi shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, Penei Eli v'choneinu. V'choneini, Hashem penei Eli, turn towards me, meaning face me. U'kamoi shekosuv, Yo'er Hashem ponov elecho. May Hashem show you the light of His face, not the darkness of the back of His head. Chochmas Otom Toyer Ponov. The Oyer is on the Ponim. The Oyeref represents the Choshech here. Ukishonu Royin Oyre Chagolus. And when the Yidden see how long this Golus is stretching, Ubechol Yoim Anachnu Tzoyekim Eilo Veinom Noishoim. And every single day we scream to Hashem, and we're not being helped. Ve'yesh Me'amenu B'nei Yisrael. There are those among Klal Yisrael, Shetoyim Chas V'sholem B'libom, who make a mistake in their hearts. The shekol hatfilos heim lorik. They start thinking, who knows? Maybe chas v'shalom, all of this tefila is baloney. Maybe it's not really helping at all because we don't see anything happening from it. We don't see any tangible results. Avol be'emes kol hatfilos hatzadikim shebechol dor v'doyer heim ma'ale moysom u'mekim moysom. But Rabbeinu Zal says the truth is that these people are wrong. The truth is that the tefillos of all the Yidden in each and every single generation, the tzaddikim in those generations elevate the tefillah, umekimim oisam, and they give these tefillos a koima, they give these tefillos a standing effect. Moshe Rabbeinu erected the Mishkan, so to the tzaddikim erect these tefillos into a binyan. Umalin kol shayfa v'shayfa leduchte, and these tzaddikim put each and every single board in its proper place. Uboinin koimoso shel hashchino ma'at ma'at, and they develop the structure of the shchino a little bit at a time. Ad sheyishtalim shir koimoso, until the full structure of the shchino will be completed. Oz yavoi Moshiach, and that's when Moshiach is going to come. Do Moshe. Moshiach is Moshe Rabbeinu, the Zohar HaKodesh says, v'yashlim oiso, and he'll put the finishing touch on this, v'yokim oiso b'shleimus, and he will complete this 100%. Now the Zohar HaKodesh explains, why does this have to take such a long time? Why does this have to take generations and generations, and so many millions of tefillos, and so many thousands of tzaddikim? The Zohar HaKodesh says, this is all because of Adam HaRishon. The Zohar HaKodesh says, if Adam HaRishon would not have eaten from the Eitz Hadas, and if Adam HaRishon would have said his tefillah at the time that he was supposed to, and done everything he was supposed to, with his single tefillah, everything would have had a tikkun. Everything would have fallen into place, the whole Bria would have been Nishlam, and everything would have been Ketikunoi. As a result of the pigam of the Eitz Hadas, the Zohar HaKodesh says this caused such bilbul and such destruction that it's going to take hundreds of generations and thousands of people and hundreds of tzaddikim to work for years and years and lifetimes to be able to fix, to be able to correct the pigam that was affected within the Shechino, within the Koimas HaShechino. V'zeh pirush, Rabbi Nezal says, now let's explain the story line by line. Chazino lahai kavra. Rabbi Bar Bachona said, I saw this huge fish. Hu bechinas tzadik hadoir. The kavra represents the tzadik of the generation. Hanikra dog. Tzadikim are called fish. Rabbi Nezal shows the Sefer Ma'orei Oyer, one of the Sifrei Kabbalah, which shows that the word dog, the symbol of tzaddik, is the fish. Why? There are several reasons that are given for this. The Zohar HaKadosh quotes the pasuk v'yidgu l'roiv, v'yidgu, v'yidgu b'dgas hayom. There's one pasuk v'yidgu l'roiv b'kerav horetz, but the Zohar HaKadosh quotes the pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis v'yidgu b'dgas hayom, v'yirdu b'dgas hayom, referring to the tzaddik coming down among the other tzaddikim and leading them. This is the analogy that the Zohar HaKadosh says about this. Dogim, the Gemara says that tzaddikim are compared to fish in two respects. Just as a fish cannot live out of water, so too tzaddikim cannot live outside of Torah. Their whole life is the Torah. Just as dogim, the Gemara says, meat, poultry, chicken and meat, is eaten b'shchita. It must be shechted before it can be eaten. Whereas fish, the Gemara says, asifoson zui shchitoson, that just simply gathering them in, that's their shchita. They don't require any shchita. We talk about gathering in the fish, that's their tikkun. This term, asifo. We find by tzaddikim, when tzaddikim pass away, the pasuk says, vayigva, Vayeosef el Amov, he was gathered into his people. So this same term asifa that's used about fish is used also about tzaddikim. So we see that the fish is the symbol of the tzaddik. Zebechinas Moshe Moshiach. That's the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu Moshiach, who represent the leading tzaddikim. De Yosef leichol so agabe, the tzaddik has this sand, these thousands of grains of sand on him. Hainu hatfilois she'onu mispalalim al ze shekaviyochol pono erif eleinu. This refers to all the tfilois. Note, it says he had this sand on his back. This means, this refers to the tfilois. Agabe means also because of the back. This refers to the thousands of the tefillos that the Yidden are being mispalil because Hashem has turned His back on us. Agabe, because of Gabe, because Hashem's back is turned to us. Therefore, we keep piling on this sand, these tefillos. Yosvole, there was resting. Notice these tefillos were sitting on this fish. Hainu vayoviu es hamishkon el Moshe. This represents the concept of the Yidden bringing the ingredients, their tefillos, to the tzaddik. The Yidden bringing all the ingredients of the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki tzorich lohovi ulekasher es hatfilo lahatzadik shebedoyer. Because the person must bring his tefila and attach it to the tzaddik hadoyer. Rabbein Azal says, V'kodach alei agmo. The Gemara says, and there was grass growing on this sand. There was something else attached here. Hainu haneshomois haboimim hatfilo. This refers to the Torah that a person learns, lishma velasois, with the oisius haTorah represent nitzutzei neshomois, and these nitzutzei neshomois join the tefillah. They enter into the tefillah, Bechinas besulois achrei reyuseho, as we quoted that pasuk earlier. Ki haneshamois seinikroyen asabin. The question is, what's the connection between the grass and the neshamois? Rabbein Azal says, we know that neshamois are compared to grass. Kamoi shekosav, as the pasuk says in Yecheskel, anovi revovo kitzema chasode nesaticho. Hashem says, I have made the yidden plentiful like the tzema chasode, like the grasses of the field. So we see that the Jewish neshamos are compared to these grasses. We know also Rabbein Azal brings in Teres Samachay and Likutei Moran later on that the Tzadik Emes is called the Baal HaSodeh, the master of the field. He's the caretaker of these thousands of neshamos which are represented by these blades of grass. V'savrinon yabeshtohi. And we saw all of this and we thought it was dry. Hainu shehatfilois enom oisim peirois. We thought that the tefillos were not moist. They weren't wet. Wet represents productivity, something alive, something that's growing. When something is dried out, it's dead. That's the symbol of being dead. So we thought that the tefillos were doing nothing. Avol be'emes einoi kein. But the truth is not like that. Elo salkinon va'afinon u'bashlinon. Hainu kol hatfilois salkinon, all of these tefillos, salkinon, the oilim, they go up. Lesalik means to rise up. V'chol ma shemarbim betfilo nivna shechina b'yoser. And the more that the Yidden increase their tefillos, the more they increase the quantity and the quality of their tefillos, u'mechina nivna hashechina b'yoser. The shechina is built up more and more. U'mechina es atzmo lezivug. And the Shechina prepares itself for Zivug, for uniting itself with Kodesh Brichu, with Hashem Kaviyochel. Again, in the Sifrei Kabbalah, we are given a picture as if there was a male and female aspect of Hashem, Kaviyochel. This has nothing to do with anything physical, Chas V'cholila. This is simply a concept, a terminology, referring to the midos of Hashem. Chesed is a symbol of Zohar, Givura Din is a symbol of Nekeva. That's the concept. But in any case, we discuss the concept of a yichud between the Shechina and Kodesh Baruch Hu, between the female attribute with the male attribute, these two being merged together. So Rabbein Azal says, the more we increase our tefillos, the more we build up the Shechina, and the Shechina prepares herself for Zivug with Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'zeh afinon u'bashlinon. This is why the terms baking and cooking are used. Ki afio u'bishul heim hachono l'achilo. Because these are preparations for eating. Baking and cooking represent the preparation for achila. The word achila in Hebrew means physically eating. The word achila also represents zivug, the mating between husband and wife. Rabbein Azal says, Ki afiu bishul heim hachono l'achilo lebechinas zivug. Baking and cooking are preparation for eating, which is the concept of zivug. Kemo shekosuv kiim halechem asher u'echel. The pasuk says that Yosef, Potiphar, gave Yosef HaTzadik the complete rule of his home. He gave him control over his home, except for the bread that he ate. Except for the bread that Potiphar ate. The Gemara says, Rashi says, that this refers to his own wife. That this is a Loshon Nekiyah, a nice way of referring to his wife, his own wife with whom he made it. So we see that Achila is also a term of Zivug. And when the Shechina will be completely built up, through the large quantity, through the multitude of tefilos, yichmaru rachmov, the kindness of Hashem will be aroused, v'yisapech midas adin l'midas harachmim, and Hashem's din, harshness, will be converted to kindness. V'zeh kadcham, this is what the pasuk means when it says, when things warmed up. This doesn't mean warming up in a bad way, gehenem chas v'shalom. This means a warmth of chesed, of kindness. Hainu kasher yichmaru rachmov, when the kindness of Hashem will be aroused. Note, interestingly, that the words kad cham are begematria chesed, exactly. This is not something I heard from Rebbe Zal. This is something that looks obvious. I hope it's not chas v'shalom something wrong. The next thing we're going to say is something that I did hear from our Rebbe Zichron of Rocha, which is a fantastic chiddush. Kadcham hainu kashiach murachmov, when the kindness of Hashem is aroused, gabe ishapich, the back of the fish was turned around. Kaviyochol, the back of Hashem reverses his position. Hainu sheyishapich midas hadin l'midas harachmim, the midas hadin of Hashem gets converted to midas harachmim. Of the midos of Hashem, which ones represent din? There are three of them. Gevura, Bina, and Hoid. Those three represent Din. Gabe is Hapich. Gabe is spelled with a Yud sometimes. In the Gemara, if you'll take a look, it's written without a Yud. The word Gabe can be spelled Gimel Beis He. Rebbe Zal said that this is Merames on these three spheres. Gevura, Bina, and Hoid. The Midas Adin of Hashem will flip around, will turn over. The Eloi Hava Mekarvinon L'Sfinta. And if not for the fact that we were close to the ship, we would have drowned. Now Rabbi Nizal is going to stress a very, very important yisoid in Yiddishkeit and in tefillah. Rabbi Nizal says, Hainu lemani lemani esezois. Hashem says, don't think, don't be big shots, don't think that it's your tefillois and your mitzvois and your zechusim for which I'm going to treat you kindly, for which I help you, for which I love you. Baloney. Hashem says, Lemani, it's for my own self, for myself. I do it for my own reasons, for my own personal nachas. It's not that you're so good that you deserve to be rewarded, that you didn't deserve to be treated the way Hashem treats them. Hashem says, Lemani, Lemani, esezois. It's for myself that I do it, meaning that when a yid davens and davens and davens, after all his davening, when he sees that Hashem gives him what he was asking for, it's wrong for the person to say, I davened and I got it. Otherwise, he's taking too much of the credit for himself, and that could lead to a gaiva, and that could puncture his tefillah, and it could puncture his success. Rabbi Nizal says that when Hashem gives you what you've been davening for, you're supposed to take on an attitude, Hashem is so kind to me. I know that I don't really deserve this. I know that it's only the kindness of Hashem and the goodness of Hashem to which I owe a thanks through which I got this. It's not that I should feel proud. Look, I davened and Hashem gave me what I wanted. But rather this other attitude. Because when a person does that, what happens is a person could fall into a gaiva and not continue to daven. And a person can be fooled into thinking he succeeded when his success was very tiny compared to the type of success that awaits this person if he continues to daven, if he continues to struggle and always look for the chesed of Hashem, not look to credit himself, but always look to give the credit to Hashem, based on this concept of lemani, lemani, es ezois, that the Torah itself says, Hashem says, don't be big. Don't think I'm giving you, whatever I give you is as in payment for what you've done. Because how dare you think you've done something for Hashem? Big shot. You did Hashem a big favor. You put a mezuzah on your door. Who gave you the door? Who gave you the house? Who gave you the plot of land? You put on tzitzis. Who gave you clothing? Who gave you money to buy the tzitzis? Who gave you a body? Who gave you everything? As Rabbi Nizal is going to explain now. Kide Isa b'medrash, as the Medrash says, Mi hekdimani vashalim loy. Hashem says, Hashem makes an announcement. Anybody who thinks that I owe them anything, Hashem says, let them come and collect. Step forward and I'll see if you're worthy of payment. Mi hekdimani, who did something for Hashem before Hashem did something for that person? Mi osali mezuzah koidem shenasati loy bayis. Which Jew put up a mezuzah before Hashem gave him a house onto which to put up the mezuzah? Nimtza. Therefore, what message is the Gemara trying to convey with this? Shekol ma'isim toivim shelonu v'chol ha'tfilois ha'koil me'itoi. That with all the tfilois and with all the good deeds, all of it comes from Hashem anyway. Who gives us the strength to daven, the initiative, the desire, the cheshek? And with all the davening, after all the davening, who gives us what we're asking for? It's only Hashem. Ve'ein roi lachshev lekabel schar al shum dovor. And therefore, a Jew should not really be looking for reward based on what he's done. He should be looking for Hashem to help him based on the kindness of Hashem. He's supposed to daven. He's supposed to daven a lot. He's supposed to daven very hard. But not to attribute the success to his tefillah as much as attributing it to the kindness of Hashem. To give the credit and the kavod to Hashem. And even though it seems to a degree that when Mashiach comes, he's going to come as a result of our tefillah and Torah, still, the Jews have to know that we have to come on to the kindness of Hashem. If Hashem ever decided to treat us fairly, it'd be all over for us, chas v'shalom. If Hashem ever tried to treat us with justice, it would be the end. We daven and we try and we do mitzvahs and we struggle, and with all of that we realize that we still have to come on to the kindness of Hashem. We still need Hashem to bend over backwards to help us, to find it within Him to help us. And this is what the Gemara means when it says, "V'zeh iloy mekarvinon l'sfinta." If not for the fact that we were close to the ship, we would have drowned. Rabbi Nizal says, Sfinto, the ship here, represents the kindness of Hashem. Zebechinas chesed. Kemoisham Razal, as the Gemara says, Hasafnin rubon chasidin. Sailors are usually very religious, the Gemara says, because of the fact that they're out at sea, they're seamen, and they know that they're at the mercy of Hashem. They know all Hashem has to do is turn on the motor a little on that sea under them, and they can go flying right into the sky, or they can go flying right into the ocean. So the Gemara says, they by nature are chassidim. They rely very much on the chesed of Hashem. They daven a lot. Sailors by nature are very quick to start screaming to Hashem, as we find in the story of Yoina Hanovi. Sailors, they were in a ship out at sea. A storm came up, and it looked like they were all going to drown. What did they do? Right away, each one of them started screaming to his Hashem. Even the goyim there, it says, started davening. Because safnin, sailors, are usually chasidim, chasodim. They depend on this chesed. They realize this need for chesed. So Rabbi Nizal says, Eloi chasdai tavinon chas v'sholom begolus. This is why even after we prepared our tefillos, even after we baked and cooked, which means we davened, we did everything we were supposed to do, still we realized that when we saw the fish turn over, when we finally saw Hashem give us this salvation, turn His face to us, we realize that were it not for the chesed of Hashem, He would not have done this. It's not that it's owed to us, sekumt uns nicht, that expression in Yiddish, Hashem doesn't owe us anything, but rather we credit any good that we get from Hashem to Hashem's kindness, not to Hashem's fairness or justice, but rather to Hashem's kindness. Now Rabbeinu Zal summarizes all of this in a short pasuk in the Chumash. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh pirush." This is the beginning of Parshas Emor. Emor el kohanim. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Say to the kohanim." Rabbeinu Zal says, "Emor bechinas tefila." Emor is a concept of tefila. Kamo Yishikosev, as the pasuk says, "Es Hashem he'emarto hayoyim." Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Yidden, "You have davened to Hashem," and he used the word amira. So we see that emor refers to tefillah. Koyhanim Heim bechinas Torah. Kohanim are the symbol of Torah. Bechinas neshomos kanal. The concept of the neshomos, the oisios corresponding to the neshomos that we learned earlier. Why? Kamoi shekosav, as the pasuk says, ki sifsei kohen yishmeru das v'toyra yavakshim yipiyu. The kohanim were the rabbonim. They were the loim de Torah. Yairu mishpotecho liyakoy v'sayroscho liyisrael, right? So we see that the kohanim are the symbol of Torah. Emor tefillah, attached to Torah, the kohanim. Aharoin, the pasuk says the emor el hakohanim bnei aharoin. What does aharoin represent? Aharoin bechinas mishpot. Aharon represents Mishpat, kemo shekosuv, venoso Aharon es Mishpat b'nei Yisrael. Aharon HaKohen was the one who wore the choshen Mishpat, the chest plate. He wore the choshen Mishpat, so Aharon HaKohen is the symbol of the Mishpat that's needed for the tefillah, for the sword to be centered. Ki tzorech lohavi kol ha-tefillos lebechinas Moshe. Note, Hashem was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, because all of the tefillos have to be brought to Moshe Moshiach. V'hu yokim es ha-mishkon. It's the tzaddik ha-doer, the bechin of Moshe, Moshiach. He's the one who's responsible to build up this mishkon. V'zeh pirish Rashi. And this is the interpretation of what Rashi says over there. Lahazir, it says, emor ala kohanim b'nei Aharon. Kohanim are the adults, b'nei Aharon are the children. So Rashi HaKadosh says, lahazir ha-gdoilim ala k'tanim, that the adults are required to teach the children. Rabbi Nezal says, "Lahazir hagdoilim alaktanim." I know this means tzaddik hador shu bechinas Moshe moir hagodol. The tzaddik hador, who is a concept of Moshe Rabbeinu, who is compared to the moir hagodol, the great light, the sun. The Gemara says, "Pnei Moshe kepnei chamo yazhir v'yoyer es hatfilo." He is required to shine light. Yazhir means to warn. Zohar also means light. The tzaddik is required to shine a light into the tefillah. Shehi bechinas moir hakoton. The tefillah is a concept of the moir hakoton. The tefillah is malchus. David HaMelech was the one who said, va'ani tefillah. Malchus is compared to the levona, the moon, which is called the moir hakoton, this small light. So the tzaddik is the one, the tzaddik who is the sun, the moir hagodol, shines his light into the tefillah, which is the moir hakoton. And the pasuk continues to say, ulanefesh, ulanefesh, lo yitamo biyamov. What should you tell the kohanim? To be very careful to stay away from tumah. Hainu al yidei shmira sabris kanal, through a Jew keeping himself pure, in the union of shmira sabris, in his relations with women, or in that whole area of religion, kimuva bezoyar, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, ikra de yitzra bisho al arayin, that the main reason for the Yetzer Hara is arayos pigam abris, that's the main mission of the Satan in this world. We know that each and every single malach is given a name according to his mission. What's the name of the Satan? Samach mem aleph lamed. The Sifrei Kabbalah brings Samach Mem Aleph Lamed is Bigimatria Niuf, Nun Aleph Pei, showing that that's the main mission of this Malach. His main thing in this world is to get a Jew to be lenient or to be Nichshal, to stumble in this specific area, in how pure he keeps himself in associating with women. That a Jew should be zeichet to get married, b'kdusha, b'tahara, according to the laws of Klal Yisrael, and to feel the need that a person has for associating with women should be satisfied completely through his own shalom bayis, through the peace and harmony and tranquility and love that exists in his own house. V'hi ikra de misavusa, that's the main form of tumah in the world, is this tumah of arayis, chil abris. That's why on Yom Kippur at Mincha, which is the holiest, holiest time of the year, what are we laying? The Parshas Ha'arayos. Because that's the Iker time of purity. Yom Kippur, we're wearing white clothing, the symbol of purity. Mincha is the holiest time of the day. Right before Nila, what do we discuss? The Parsha of Arayos. Because that's the Iker Tuma in the world. So Rabbi Nezal says, through that, and if the Yid is zeichet to be shemer habris, then he's zeichet to tefillah. The zeichet lebechinas tehilosi echdamloch, and he's zeichet to the tefillah that we spoke about in the beginning of this chapter, in the beginning of the Torah, the tefillah that represents the nose, the ikar chiyus of the person. This Ruach Apeinu Moshiach Hashem. Ki ikar horeya. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to bring another connection. Remember way, way back, 3-4 weeks ago when we started this chapter, we spoke about tefillah being associated with the nose. What sense is the nose associated with? The sense of smell, right? Reach. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki ikar horeach toloi betaharo. Where do we see the connection between tefillah and tikkun habris? Tefillah is the nose. Tehilosi echtamloch. Tikkun habris is taharo. We're going to show a connection now between reach, the sense of smell, and tikkun habris. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki ikar horeach toloi betaharo, because the sense of smell is dependent on how pure a person is. Kemoishom razal, as the Gemara says in Soita, Mishebotlo hataharo botel horeach. That the Gemara says over there that when Tara, when Yidden started being less religious in Tikkun HaBris, the sense of smell, the true sensitivity to smell, became lessened. Kimavur Maisa the Gemara, as the Gemara there tells a story about Rav Huna, that Rav Huna was walking, carrying a fig in his pocket, a very deliciously smelling fig, but he had it completely covered. So the Gemara says his son Rabba walked by and he said to his father, Daddy, what's that fig I smell? So the Gemara says, his father said to him, Shomar, his father said, Recha de Chanunis, the son said, Recha de Chanunis ani meriach. I smell the smell of a very juicy fig. Omar lay, so his father said to him, Bini taharo yeshboch. I see that you are tohor, that you have this mead of tikkun habris, taharo, because the taharo of a person determines the sense of smell. It determines the success in tefillah. Chagor charbecho al yorech. The cherev, which is tefillah, is dependent on the tikkun habris. To summarize this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal said that tefillah is Moshiach, and the whole hatzlocha of Moshiach, and the whole hatzlocha of the Yid, is only through tefillah. The ikar is through tefillah. The effectiveness of a person's tefillah is dependent on his tikkun habris. The tikkun habris and the tefillah are dependent on mishpat. Mishpat comes through tzedakah, because tzedakah is a judgment call. I make a decision whether this person is worthy of, whether it's worth me subtracting from my wealth and adding to his wealth. And Rabbeinu Zal said that once you have this, and you're able, through perfection of mishpat, to rid yourself of the machshavei zorois, and to take your tefillah and be mekasher to the tzaddik hador, then your tefillah will accomplish everything that it's supposed to do. Because then, all the Torah that you've learned, the oisyeis ha-Torah that you've learned, lishma v'lasos, which represents neshamos, that will also merge into your tefillah, and it'll give to your tefillah, and it'll take from your tefillah, and this whole package put into the tzaddik's hands, the tzaddik will use this to build the koimas ha-shechina. And with all your davening, you must know not to attribute your successes to your davening, but rather to attribute it to the chesed of Hashem. Halavai, we should be zecher. Now if a Jew is zecher to take out the Likutei Tefilos that Rav Nosson Zal wrote, and to say the tefillah on this Torah, Rav Nosson Zal's tefillos are his hispeidus that he constructed based on these chapters in Likutei Moran. If a person says the tefillah with kavona now, slowly, and pays attention to what you're saying, you'll see what Rabbeinu Zal was teaching us in this chapter, what Rabbeinu Zal wanted us to strive for in regards to tefillah, in the manner that he's presenting it here. In the zechus of fulfilling Rabbeinu Zal's etzos, and davening the way we're supposed to, with his kashrus to tzaddikim, and with his kashrus to learning Torah, we should be zeicher to get to see the coming of Moshiach, Ibnim Esmigdash Merav Yamenu, Amen V'Amen. Very controversial issue in Breslov. Our Rebbe Zichrona Levracha said that a Jew who is not an atheist, a Jew who believes in Hashem, must also believe in Tzaddikim. The two are inseparable. Vayaminu Bashem uVemoshe Avdoi. Now, there are certain misnagdim that would say, Chas v'cholila lahavdil. The answer is they can be Buddhist, they can be religious Buddhist, and Hindus, and other kachkis. Jewish, they're not. If a Jew's ideology does not combine Hashem and Tzadikim, the person is not Jewish. Poshut, simple. He's chas v'shalom being koifer in a yisoid in Yahadus. That's number one. Now, our Rebbe Zichron Lavrocha taught us that the ikur shebeikrim in emunas tzadikim is for a Jew to believe in the tzadikim of his own generation. How can a person who lives in the 1980s hope that when he leaves this world and he's going to come before Hashem and Hashem's going to ask him, did you have emunah in tzadikim? He'll say, yes, I believed in Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu, this one, that one. And Hashem's going to say, prove it. What could that person possibly say? How could that person prove that if he were living during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, he would not have been associated with the 250 Talmidei Chachomim, Goinim, Tzadikim, Lomdim, who went against Moshe Rabbeinu and who ended up grounded, very grounded? How can he say that? The only way a Yid will possibly be able to say solidly that he did believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, that he does have emunah in Moshe,